And welcome, friends, to this, the Friday morning edition of the Grace Hour, broadcasting live once again right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And welcome to the Friday broadcast, friends. Great to have you with us. And we hope that you've enjoyed the broadcasts all week long, focusing on the scriptures, the Word of God. We've looked at the Bible from many different perspectives and angles, if you will, and different aspects of it, such as we talked about yesterday, the Word of God as a seed. We've looked at the Word of God as a light. We've looked at the Word of God in so many different ways. And today, we'll wrap up our theme this week on the broadcast by seeing the Word of God as a sword of the Spirit. My name is Pastor John Love, joining us in the studio today, back from a little short-term missions trip to the West Coast.
California,
Southern California,
I found only the spiritual gold there.
Amen. No physical that's all that's really there. Gold. And Pastor Shabelli is with us in the studio today, so we're excited about our theme. Our subject, the sword. And you know, Pastor Shabelli, just to get us started, when Peter, the apostle, preached his Pentecost sermon in Acts chapter 2, those who heard it says that they were cut to the heart. And then Peter and the rest of the apostles asked them, what shall we do? I mean, the Word of God in this case preached, pierced, and laid open people's hearts. That is what the Bible does, doesn't it?
And having that question, I like that. What shall we do? In other words, they were available. They heard the word, and then they wanted to know, okay, now that we've heard the word, what shall we do? Okay, where do we go from here? And we make decisions based upon the word of God. And that's that's very important, because if all you ever do is hear the word, 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 and never say yes to the word and never obey the word, the word obedience means to be under hearing. So if I'm really hearing the Bible, then obedience is a part of that hearing. And so as we're looking at it today, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. I think that's the topic. That's what I was given. I don't know.
It is. It
the
is.
The sword of the Spirit. And so this is important. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 13. Speaking about the whole armor of God, it says, therefore, take. And I like how it always says, take the armor. Take. Take his grace and put on his faith. Take, that's grace, and put on his faith. Therefore, take to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Not part of the armor. It says the whole armor of God. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, in other words, covering all of that, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take. See, he keeps saying take, and take, and take. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Take the whole armor of God. And we see that in the midst of that armor, there's actually seven parts to the armor, but take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And this is so important. And without that weapon, 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not human, not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So it's going to take the word of God to pull down strongholds. What is a stronghold? There can be cultural strongholds. There can be strongholds within individual believers. There can be strongholds that are very diverse and very different in different situations in different people's lives. But casting down vain imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So the Bible, the Word of God, is the sword of the Spirit, and I love it. Revelation 1:16 talks about the sword coming out of his mouth. Revelation 2:12, the sword out of his mouth. Revelation 19:15, the sword out of his mouth. And this particular word that's used for sword, Makaria, It means a short sword that is able to probe, subdue, and cut out. It probes, it penetrates in, it is able to subdue, destroy the old sin nature as far as its experiential aspect, and then it is able to cut out and to remove. So this is so important. And you see all through the book of Acts, you see them preaching, teaching, teaching, teaching. So the sword as piece of the armor. And I was thinking about, you have hands full here. You have in one hand the sword of the Spirit, and in the other hand the shield of faith. So in your hand is the word and faith, sword of the Spirit, shield of faith. Kind of like everything else is a protective aspect, so isn't the shield of faith, of course, but the offensive weapon being the sword of the Spirit. And so why is it that we see the attack of the enemy is always against the word. It's always against the word. It's not never against some other aspect, and it can be against other aspects of the armor, but most of all against the word of God. Like the enemy does not want us to use the word because it makes him flee. You look at Matthew chapter 4, every time Jesus was attacked and he was actually tempted in spirit, soul, and body, he answered with, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And he's the living word using the written word. And to me, that's amazing that he didn't have some other way of, you know, saying like, "Hey, I'm the word of God, so you should just do this, that." He quoted the Bible. It is written, it is written. So how important it is for us to understand and be a receiver of God's word. I love John 1:1. In the beginning, or actually says in eternity, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. It says the Word was facing God, logos pros theos. In the beginning was the Word, that's eternal, and the Word was facing God, that's relationship, and the Word absolutely is God. So the letter that John writes starts off with the importance of the Bible. Of course, we know that in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. So this amazing weapon that we have, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it's alive, it's quick, it's sharp, it's powerful, and what it does. And so there's so many people that are trying to figure out and answer problems and difficulties and situations in people's lives, and they do everything but the Word. There's all these people that are doing counseling, but do they counsel with the Word? There's people that are preaching. Are they preaching the Word? What's going on here? There's people that are doing so many different things, and are they using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? I love this. I was thinking about this morning. Psalm 119:89, the Word is forever settled in heaven. That means the Word is eternal. Then it says in Psalm 119:130, the entrance of your Word gives light, is understanding to the simple. Then it says in 119:105, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. I put it together with these three words. The eternal becomes internal and is lived out externally. Internal, eternal, internal, external. Don't want to get them mixed up. Eternal, internal, external. So how important it is. So what does Satan want to rob from the believer? What does Satan want to rob from the church? Take the word out. Yeah, you know, we go to church and I was in a church one time, it was a 3-hour service, 15 minutes for the word, the rest was prayer and music. I'm thinking to myself, like, can this place really grow without any emphasis on the Bible, the word of God? So on this program, we have an emphasis of the word of God. In our church, we want to have an emphasis of the word of God. In our relationships, in a marriage, the emphasis on the word of God. In our outreach is the word of God. In our Christian school, the word of God. This is so key and so important. And of course, it's the word of God in the nature of God. Sometimes people bring the word of God, but it's not in the nature of God. Acts 14:3 and 20:32 talks about a word of grace. It is a word based upon the nature of God. That's the only word that brings glory to God. You read John 1:14-18, it's very clear there. So how important it is for us to be people of the book, people of the book. They were known by that in early Christianity, people of the book. I wonder if that's the case today. Probably in many places it is, but you can find people. I mean, how many churches even think about the importance of having Bible classes? teaching the Bible. Not just teaching the Bible from the pulpit, but line upon line, precept upon precept. We have a four-year Bible school here. Could be three, could be four, depending on which direction you're going in. But we see the importance of God's Word. We have churches around the world, 941 of them. And I believe they're all churches of the Word, the importance of the Scriptures. When we were in West Africa, in a country in West Africa, we had 85 churches attending our Bible school. Our Bible school was open to anybody in any church. It didn't make a difference. It wasn't just exclusively for us. It was for people that wanted to learn God's Word. And so without the Word of God, what are we left with? Man's opinions, a social bent in a certain direction. What are we left with? Human reasoning. What are we left with? Satanic accusation, the world and its ways. Now, Christianity has to be very careful it doesn't become worldly. And that is a danger today, worldly Christianity, because without the Word, we have to become worldly. If there's no Word, there's going to be worldliness is going to come in. It has to come in, because it's only the Word of God that will deal with this world system. So that's it. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. How key that is.
The Word of God. And that's what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 begins by telling us, for the Word of God. I think right from the beginning, that's what we have to recognize and acknowledge, that this is the communication of the one and only true God. As Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, he said, all Scripture is breathed out by God, which means it doesn't originate with man. Even those who are called prophets in the Bible, they were men who spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. So when we're talking about the Word of God, it really is. And I think this is what Paul said to the Thessalonians. When you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the Word of God. So let's focus on that for a moment. It really is the Word of God.
Yeah. Even though
to dismiss it and to say, no, it's just another book written by men, would be absolute folly and could lead to the worst possible destiny.
That's what the enemy wants to do, convince us that it's just men writing their thoughts when it's actually God using man to bring forth the Scriptures, and how important that is. I was thinking about this in the aspect in what we looked at in Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, that the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What does it mean to discern? It means, diakrino, it means to be able to distinguish what is of God and what is not of God. And if you don't have the Word of God, you can't discern. And you'll say that something is okay when it's not okay. It's not in the Word of God, because you have no discernment. Can you distinguish between what's of God and what's not of God? And that comes by discerning the Word, being able to distinguish, is this of God, is this not of God? Like people will say, well, it's okay to drink. Really? Have you read the Scriptures? Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. And be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So it is the Word of God that will tell me about marriage. Man and a woman, okay? Yeah, it's going to tell me about marriage. It's going to tell me about drinking. It's going to go against all the errors, okay? There's so many errors out there. So many errors, even in Christianity. It's really sad. You know, it's going to tell me about a pastor teacher, one pastor. There can be assistant pastors in a congregation, but one pastor teacher. The Bible is going to show me that. The Bible is going to tell me that which is of the flesh, Galatians 5, 19, 20, and 21. And that which is of the Spirit, 5:22 and 23. So without the Word of God, how do I discern? How do I distinguish what's of God and what's not of God? And if I am not able to discern, how do I make decisions? And maybe God wants me to make a decision in a certain direction, and I have no clue about that, and I don't even understand the Word of God or discern the Word of God. So I end up making decisions that really, when I get to the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, where God will say, like, well, why did you do that? What was that all about for 8 years or 10 years? That had nothing to do with my will. Because you'll find God's will in his word, right?
Yeah.
God's will is in his word. So this is so important. to have a knowledge of the scriptures, to be in the scriptures and to mix faith with what I hear. So what do you do when you just see people that call themselves churches and there is no real Bible teaching at all? It's like I was in a church one time and they took four offerings. I'm like, wow, four offerings? I can see taking an offering and then maybe a door offering for missions or something else, some need or whatever. But it was all about just money. It was all about money. It wasn't about the Bible, you know? And then all about talking about blessing, you know, blessing. God, I'm going to bless you with this and bless you with that. I believe God blesses us because he gave us his word. So amen. Key.
So beautiful. Friends, we want to remind you that you can join us on the broadcast. The comment section is open, and you can share your thoughts with us on our theme today. The word of God is a sword. And if you have questions, again, share those questions with us as well. So it is the word of God. It really is. Secondly, it's alive. It's not dead. It's energetic. It's effective. It has life in itself. And it really does produce life in those who hear it and believe it. John Piper said there's something about the truth as God has revealed it that connects it to God as the source of all life and power. God loves his word.
He does, yeah.
He really does. And think about it. How would we know about forgiveness if it were not for the word of God?
We wouldn't.
How would we know about peace if it were not for the word of God? How would we know about the character and nature of God if it wasn't for the Bible? I mean, we would be lost. We would be without any hope in this world if it were not for the scripture.
We'd be off in some abstract bent in our lives and just moving along in a direction that has nothing to do with the scriptures at all. And really, so the enemy is going to fight the learning of the scriptures. He's going to fight against churches that really believe the Bible, really believe the Bible. And I think that with many places today, there is no fight because they're already under the control, have no emphasis on the word, cannot really discern what's going on. And then they begin to make decisions and they call those things spiritual. They think that they're spiritual decisions, but they're contrary to the scriptures, totally contrary to the scriptures. I like what Paul's last words were to the Ephesian leaders. They met in Acts chapter 20, and he would see them for the last time. He said, such sorrow, because I said, you'll see my face no more. And he says, I commend you to God. And then he defines God. I commend you to God. I give you over to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are set apart. So he's building and giving. I commend you. I'm not going to see you again, but I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. You need the word. You need the word. If that's, I mean, what will be the name on his thigh when he comes back? Revelation 19, and his name shall be called the word of God, the word of God. So when people say, oh, I don't really have a lot of need for all that Bible teaching and whatnot, I'm just looking for a place that makes me feel emotionally very nice, very well, and it kind of gives me, you know, a direction to go in. But they do not want anything to do with the word of God and the Bible. They say the average Christian, I think I read this a while ago, the average Christian reads the Bible about 15 minutes a week. Mm. And that's really interesting. Imagine if you just ate 15 minutes a week. You know, you have 21 meals, and how could you do that, you know? And there's no study of the word. There's no importance of the word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the Bible tells us, Paul told Timothy, study the Bible. Study the Bible. Learn the Bible. Continue in the things you've learned, 3:14. So you see the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, are filled with an emphasis on God's word in the Bible. This is what Paul wants to leave with Timothy. Timothy was a man of the book. Titus 1:3, same thing, you know, preaching, talking to Titus about preaching and teaching. And so when this is neglected or this is stolen by the enemy, then he leaves churches just doing things. But what are they really doing? That's the question. What actually is taking place? Is it the foundation and emphasis and the leading of the word of God? By the way, can you say that you're led by the Spirit if you're not a person that really cares about the Bible? What spirit are you led by? You know? In other words, the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. The Holy Spirit lives in me. Do not the two have to connect? The Spirit in me and the Bible that wrote the Spirit? That should be very clear to people, you know? But once again, the enemy has done everything he can to hide it, to make it very abstract, make it meaningless, make it something that's really not that important for the individual. This is so key.
Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flower fades away, the word of God abides forever.
Forever.
So when you are investing your time and your resources into the study of the word of God, you're making an eternal investment, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are.
You're investing in something that's never going to fade away. So it's the word of God. And as we mentioned just a moment ago, it's alive. And it's active and powerful, meaning mm-hmm. it accomplishes its purpose.
Yes, it does.
The same word that at creation set the elements of the cosmos in their appointed task and still governs the universe towards God's desired intentions, and we read about that in Genesis chapter 1. That same word that created has the ability to affect change in people's mm-hmm. lives. Mm-hmm. It's not static and passive, but it's dynamic. It's interactive, and mm-hmm. it's transforming as it interfaces with the people of God. That's amazing. It's quick mm-hmm. and powerful. And I love the translation that says, it's sharper than any surgeon's scalpel. It's able to penetrate yeah. and to go to places that no surgeon's scalpel could ever reach. I mean, I remember reading this story about a pastor who was going in, and he was having some kind of a surgery that was going to determine why his heart was beating in an irregular fashion. And before the surgeon put him under the anesthetic, he said, now listen, he says, I want to understand what you're going to do. You're going to go into my heart and you're going to find out why it's not beating properly. You're going to check out all of the electrical aspects of my heart. He said, that's correct. He asked a couple more questions and he said, that's correct. He says, well, while you're in there, he says, do you think you could deal with pride? Arrogance, lust, and immediately the surgeon looked at him and said, that's way out of my pay grade. In other words, yeah. the Bible, the word of God, which is quick and powerful, is able to reach a part of us that nothing one else
can do it. There's some interesting ideas I wrote down this morning. Number one, we are born of the word. 1 Peter 1:23. Next, we grow in the word. 2 Peter 3:18. Some people never grow, saved, born again, but they still have their diapers on. We are supposed to grow in the word, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We fight with the word. Ephesians 6:17. It's an instrument for warfare. We're led by the word. 119 verse 130. We want to be led by the word of God. We live by the word. Matthew 4:4. We preach the word. 2 Timothy 4:1-4. We teach the word. Acts 18:11. Faith comes by the word. By the way, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Put it together with this verse. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. No word, no faith, God's not pleased. That's a very simple statement, isn't it? No word, no faith, God cannot be pleased. The power of the word. We said it. Hebrews 4:12. The authority of the word. Luke 4:32. The eternal aspect of the word, you just said it, Isaiah 40, verse 8, and John 1:1. The relationships that we have based upon God's word. Healing in the word, 107:20, sent his word to heal. There's so many aspects. The church in the word, Acts 20:32. The gospel in the word, Acts 15, verse 7, and 16, 6. Everything's based on the word, the Bible. The scriptures. So the enemy's great objective. Remember, what was the first thing he said to Adam and Eve? Hath God said? I like the translation in the Hebrew language. Can it really be that God said? You know, can it really be that God said? And so he's questioning his first approach to humanity. God's children there, Adam and Eve, in the garden is questioning the word of God. Okay? And you know, since you're born of the word, the enemy can do nothing about that. So what's he going to try to do is keep me from the word so I can grow, I can be established, I can be in God's purpose and plan. So he's on the attack against the word. And that's why you see so many churches around the world that are not word-based. They're not word-based. And I don't think they can have an effect. Maybe something small, maybe some effect, some type. But overall, can they have an effect? Because Satan hates the word. So a church without the word, he's great friends with. This is, yeah, I can be good friends with a bunch of people that don't care about the Bible. You know? And we see it more and more, I think, as we see the end times approaching. 1 Timothy 4:1 says that in the latter days, last days, men will depart from the faith, right? And they're departing from faith and they're departing from doctrine. 2 Timothy 3:1, in the last days, dangerous times will come. And he goes in verses 14 to 18, all about the emphasis of the Bible, the word of God. So the last days mean the intensity of demonic attacks against the word. You see so many people write Christian books. Is it all about some kind of psychology, philosophy, or is it about the Bible? That's a question, you know. So many bestsellers even, and people, well, I don't want to read too many books about the Bible. I want to just hear some nice stories, you know. Well, I'm interested in stories as illustrations to the word, but not in place of the word.
Amen. You know, at the end of 1 Thessalonians 2:13, where Paul says, you know, this is really the word of God, and it is at work in you, believers. In other words, even if you don't remember what you read or heard in a sermon, that word is still present tense at work in you. So in those that the Spirit of God is calling, the word works in us to produce perhaps conviction of sin.
Yeah.
Sometimes it will do that. I mean, how many times have we gone to church and heard a message and felt as though the pastor knew about what was happening in our lives personally? But the word of God is just that quick and that powerful, penetrating our souls. And listen to what Isaiah 55, verse 11 says. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. I mean, that's the word of God alive and effectual in our lives. And then a couple of verses further in Isaiah 55, listen to this. It says, instead of the thorn, and this is all because of the word, instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briars shall come up the myrtle. And Paul Tripp, in his pastoral theology book entitled Dangerous Calling, says the following, quote, when the word of God faithfully taught by the people of God and empowered by the Spirit of God falls down, people become different. Lusting people become pure. Fearful people become courageous. Thieves become givers. Demanding people become servants. Angry people become peacemakers. Complainers become thankful. Idolaters come to joyfully worship the one true God. The ultimate purpose of the Word of God is not theological information, but heart and life transformation.
Amen.
Isn't that good? I mean, the Word of God changes you.
Yes. We've got people in the studio that the Word of God changed.
I know. That's why they're here.
It's amazing. I was thinking about this you described it, Hebrews 4:12. I was thinking about these two thoughts. The Word of God, what it is, that's first. It's alive, it's powerful, and it's sharp. That's what it is. What does it do? Pierces, divides, discerns, and manifests. Pierces, divides, discerns, and manifests. What it is and what it does. And the two of them go absolutely together. What a powerful portion of scripture that is in Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. Do we have any comments coming in? I think we do. We have Dion. Wow. Yeah. He's up in Pennsylvania, originally from South Africa. I met him in South Africa like 25 years ago, 23 years ago, I think it was. He can correct me.
Amazing. He says an observation about the living word of God is that when by faith we receive the word, our faith is built up, our lives are transformed. That means we are changed day by day to represent Christ in all spheres of life. Dion. And our good friend Laird Bean, says John chapter 1, verses 1 through 9 reveals that Jesus is the light. His word sheds light upon every aspect of our lives. Praise God.
Amen.
For that. You know, just some great thoughts shared by our listeners. And just to go back to this powerful nature of the Word of God, That's the primary reason why we've experienced transformation mm-hmm. in our lives. Mm-hmm. There's no other answer. I mean, if you were just going to make your way through Christianity in an emotional way, you're going to fizzle out. You're going to burn out. You're going to be consumed by life itself. If the power of the Word of God is not transforming our hearts and minds, you know, it's going to fizzle out. We're not going to make it.
Something emotional for a while, right?
Yeah.
But just fizzle away. That's so interesting. So I was thinking about, there was one man I was reading about in the scriptures, the 2 Samuel 23, about Benaiah. And it's quite an interesting person. His name means son of my right hand. And it says, first of all, he killed two lion-like men of Moab. That's the flesh. And then he killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. What's he doing jumping into a pit? Kill a lion, you know. And then he took a spear out of an Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. So you have the flesh, the devil, and the world. Flesh, the devil, and the world. And the Word of God takes care of the flesh, the devil, and the world system. This is so important. Without the Word of God, I mean, it's so easy for the enemy to try to penetrate the flesh and then have us live a certain life in the world. And it's only the Word of God that can stand against that. It's only the Word of God that can stand against it. So Christians without the Word, sad to say, they might think they're doing something good, but is it something God? That's the question. Like doing something good, you know, if you give your body to be burned, you have not love, it profits you nothing. That means you could actually be a martyr, and you do it without God's love or led by God's Word. And it's absolutely of no value. Yeah. Can you imagine getting to the Bema seat and God says, oh, by the way, giving your life was never my plan. I wanted you to live your life and give your life on a daily basis, you know, and not just do it as one-time thing that happens. So,
Wasn't that the basis of the Reformation in the 15th century? It was the Word of God.
Yes.
Because it got lost. It got buried. It was removed from people's hearts and minds. And of course, it was Martin Luther that was used so greatly by God to kind of instigate the Reformation period. And this may be a little bit overstating the case, but listen to what Luther said. He said, what is Luther? He's talking about himself. He says, who's Luther? He says, this teaching is not mine. I wasn't crucified for anyone. How did I, a poor stinking bag of maggots that I am, come to the point where people called the children of Christ by my evil name? In other words, he's talking about Lutherans.
Oh, my God.
He said, I simply taught, preached, wrote God's word. Otherwise, I did nothing. that's so beautifully well said by Luther himself.
Yeah.
Because so often we put our emphasis on Luther, but Luther says, no, it was the Bible.
Yeah.
It was the word of God. It was lost. It was covered up. It was taken away from people's hearts and minds. And as a result, lives were not changed.
Right. And so the enemy is always looking to have the emphasis be on something other than the word. Maybe that's why, you know, and yes, God does miracles, but do we elevate miracles above the word of God? We love music, but do we elevate music above the word of God? And really, it's so important. Blessings. Do we elevate blessings above the person that is called the blesser? He is called the word of God. So these things are elevated above the word. And therefore, eventually, they end up really having no ability at all to do anything. And people get locked in to a certain frame of reference and a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof.
Mm-hmm. So all of the sociological trends, the psychological factors, the philosophical, political theories, none of those have the power to radically change people's lives from the inside out, but the Word of God does. And listen to what Sam Storm says, quote, he says, let the Bible be the anchor for your soul. Let it be the rock on which you stand. Let it be the compass to guide you through trials and tragic times. Let it govern your choices and renew your heart and restore your joy and ground your hope. Build your life on its moral principles. Embrace its ethical and moral norms. Believe what it says about the nature of God and believe what it says about the nature of mankind. Good thoughts.
Scriptures. Yeah. It's so important, so important. Like, do people, how would they choose a person to be their husband or their wife for the rest of their lives? Do they look at that which is external, or is there something internal, Word of God? Are they a Word of God person? No? Well, I'm going to marry her because she's from my culture. I'm going to marry her because she's beautiful. I'm going to marry him because he's handsome. I'm going to marry him because he has a good job. I'm going to marry, you know, whatever. And it, is the Word of God of any importance to a person seeking a relationship that should be there to the end, you know, then on into eternity? So here we go. When we get to heaven, by the way, if we don't care about the Word of God, we are saved by grace and we are secured and saved forever. But can you imagine? Why not start loving the Word here? Because you're going to be with the Word in heaven. You know, Jesus is the Word, and he's going to be there in heaven, and there'll be an emphasis on God's Word. But thank God, because what can deal with my old sin nature? The Bible. What can deal with the devil? The Bible. What can deal with the world system? The Bible. There's nothing else that can do it. How can I win this war against my old sin nature, against the world, and against the devil without the Scriptures?
Can't
do it. Can't do it.
Can't do it.
And sometimes when we use other formulas or other things, I think even the enemy will kind of bait us by letting us win and thinking that this actually works. And then before you know it, you're so deep into that, that the Word of God doesn't even have a place where it touches your heart anymore, you know?
Can't afford to let that happen.
Yeah.
And Rose Melinda in the Philippines says, Pastors, Melinda, greetings. I'm watching from Manila in the Philippines. I'm blessed by your message. Don, written to us, says, thanks for the living Word of God, encouragement to keep the living Word of God in the center of our lives. He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. How would we know him without the Word? Thank you, pastors, for faithfully preaching and teaching it. And Jonathan, our good friend Jonathan Odahara, says, thanks for both being faithful to preaching the Word. Brigitte said, never heard Luther said that. That was so good. Yeah, he said it. And he meant it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, so much emphasis was put on him. And even to this day, historically, it's still put on him. But he says, listen, nothing. The Reformation wouldn't have happened unless the Word of God was the focal point of it.
Keep in prayer. Yeah, keep in prayer. They're having a national conference in Zambia this weekend. Pastor Ronaldo, Pastor Carl Gale also from,
Wilmington, Delaware.
Wilmington, Delaware. They're there. Also, I have a picture of Pastor Fred riding a horse in Mongolia. That's amazing. Imagine riding a horse in Mongolia.
Modern transportation.
Yeah. What's he doing in Mongolia? Bringing the word of the gospel.
Amen.
To the people of Mongolia, of all places. And he says, I was talking to him this morning. He said, it's amazingly open. It's incredibly open there.
Praise God.
I never saw anything like it, you know. And there's these places that have not heard the Scriptures. Really. I mean, maybe they know about the Bible, but has anybody been there preaching the Scriptures? And how important it is. Can you imagine, like, making a decision to just do that with your life? You know, I'm going to become a man of the book, and I'm going to take this book into all the world. The Word goes to the world. And wasn't that one of our themes, or one of our sayings at one time, taking the Word to the
Bible
world?
College, that's
Bible
right.
Bible College, yeah.
Bringing the Word to the world.
And we have so many, I don't know how many, I think, if I estimated correctly, we have 3,100 and something students learning the Bible around the world today. And in Africa alone, we have 55 Bible schools.
Amazing.
55 Bible schools with 1,200 students. Not be a whole lot of students in each Bible school, but this is the key. This is the key to the mission. And what we're doing in Africa is training people, training nationals. I don't think there's an American, unless I'm mistaken, I don't think there's an American in Africa at this point. You think of anybody, an American in Africa? No, I can't. But it's all nationals. It's all Zambians. It's all Ugandans. It's all Ghanaians, Togolese, Liberians. And it's incredible. And what people really need, you know, people are thinking, well, Africa, they need peace. They need to stop the fighting, they need food, there's famines, they need this, they need the Word.
Yeah.
They need the Word of God. And with that will come the rest. I really believe God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. You know, but I think if my emphasis is on the needs first and not on God himself and his Word, And I wonder what really takes place, what really happens. Also, God bless the word.
And today, of course, highlighting the word as the sword that pierces. But in the scriptures, that it's also described as the mirror that reveals in James chapter 1, verse 23, a seed that reproduces in 1 Peter 1, 23. In good hearts, we read about that in Luke chapter 8, verses 12 through 15. The word is milk that nourishes the Christian in 1 Peter 2, 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lamp that shines, lightening our path, Psalm 119, 103. It's a fire that consumes, Jeremiah 23, 29, and a hammer that, if necessary, can shatter things in Jeremiah 23, 29. And I love the fact, as we wrap things up today, Pastor Shibeli, that the word is never used to slay us. It's, again, it's used in the hands of God himself, like the surgeon's scalpel.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the purpose of the surgeon using his scalpel? To heal us.
Yes.
And God uses his word. I think it's Psalm 105, verse 20. He sent his word
to heal
and healed us and delivered us from our destruction.
And it's always like speaking the truth in love. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. A word of his grace, which we mentioned. Acts 20, 32. Word of mercy. Psalm 136. Mercy endures forever. Mercy forever. So it's not a letter that kills.
That's right.
But it's the Holy Spirit and the Word of God giving life. It gives life. So how important it is. And we need to bring the Word to the world. There's no doubt about it. That's what the gospel is. What is the gospel? It's good news. Where does the good news come from? The Bible, the scriptures. Tonight we'll be speaking on, we're doing something on the armor of God tonight. And we're going to make a great emphasis on the sword of the Spirit.
Praise God.
The Word of God. That's between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock tonight. And that is 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland. It's free class. You can come and just sit in, enjoy all of it, part of it, or whatever. But we'll be talking about the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God and how faith comes. And that's going to be a key. And this is our summer class, which is every Friday night all the way to the end of August.
Praise God. Well, that wraps up our subject for today, friends, and it wraps up our theme for this week on the Grace Hour, which is, of course, the Word of God. We hope that these broadcasts have blessed you and encouraged you in your faith, and we look forward to a brand new week of broadcasting coming up next week, beginning on Monday's live Grace Hour broadcast. Thanks again for joining us, friends. Have a great weekend. We look forward to having you join us again on next Monday. Until then, may God bless you.
I can see you.